Hi, this is WAER Music Director Eric Cohen welcoming you to my latest Jazz Journeys podcast, heard exclusively on WAER.org. You know, lately we've been unearthing a number of interviews that I have had the pleasure of doing with some of the most recognizable names in jazz. Well, we are going to step away from that on this edition as I reflect on the passing of one of the most beloved figures in the jazz industry, Bruce Lundvall. The former president of Blue Note Records passed away Tuesday, May 19th, at the age of 79, after a prolonged battle with Parkinson's disease. What exactly was his role with the label? Well, it's probably best to let the man himself explain.
Hi, this is Bruce Lundvall. I'm the CEO and president of Jazz and Classics at EMI Records. We're responsible basically for three areas of music, all in the adult field, really. Blue Note is a legendary jazz label founded in 1939 and still active today. I would like to say it's probably the greatest jazz label in the world. We have Angel Records, which is our classical and Broadway label. Very old logo, actually, the logo of Angel, the Angel logo is actually older than the dog, as we say, older than the RCA dog, which is interesting enough, I guess. And then we have a pop adult label called Manhattan, which I started here in 1984, and it went away, and it's come back again, full circle. And we also market all of the EMI classics from England and the Virgin classics from France. So we have a full plate of activity on our hands. We even do some world music on a label called Metro Blue, which is sort of a sub-label of Blue Note.
Bruce actually began at Columbia Records in an entry-level position, slowly climbing the ladder where he eventually headed the North American division of the label, signing well-known artists such as Dexter Gordon and Stan Getz, as well as a young, brash trumpeter by the name of Wynton Marsalis.
I see Bruce all the time. I always loved how clean he was. So every time I would see him, I would say, damn, man. You know, this is back when the jazz scene was raggedy. You know, everybody was trying to see how much they could either imitate rock musicians or how informal they could be. I never could understand it. Coming from the country, kind of Kent, Louisiana, people didn't really have nothing. They always get dressed up like church. It meant something. Then you come to New York and you think, man, you know, wow. Everybody trying to look like we playing ball or something. But Bruce was always, when you saw him, man, he was always correct. And I always would comment on his sartorial splendor. Be like shoes, everything. Had the pocket square, the tie just always clean, always carried himself with a lot of dignity and love of the music and musicians. And the musicians loved him, which was not always the case with musicians and business people. The kind of sense of mistrust and the outright hostility that musicians would have toward business people at that time, they did not have toward him.
It was this respect that Bruce had with all of the musicians he worked with that earned him numerous accolades over the course of his career, including the 2011 Grammy Trustees Award, the Jazz Foundation of America's Lifetime Achievement Award, as well as the distinction of once serving as the chairman of the Recording Industry Association of America. Pianist Herbie Hancock.
I don't remember exactly when I met Bruce. It just seems like I've always known him. You know, because he's a jazz lover. So whether it was his label or label he was connected with or not, he would go to hear the music because he loved the music. And so, you know, eternally grateful to him for his vision.
When Lundvall was asked to resurrect the long-dormant Blue Note Records in 1984, he welcomed the challenge, unlocking the vaults and reissuing some of the classic jazz music the label released back in the 50s and 60s. Thank you. throughout the 90s and into the first decade of the 21st century, Bruce Lundvall was instrumental in signing young, unknown artists and ushering in a new generation of jazz. One of those fortunate enough to catch Bruce's ear was vocalist-turned-Grammy winner Kurt Elling.
He's been a really good friend of me for a long time. Wow. And I would not have had a start, and I might not even have, you know, whatever level of career that I've got without him. You know, he listens really hard, and he knows what he's hearing, and, you know, he's a jazz cat, knows how to hang.
Others, including Cassandra Wilson, Medeski Martin and Wood, John Scofield, and Robert Glasper, also owe a debt of gratitude to the late great record executive. But there is one young lady in particular who probably wouldn't have the worldwide fame she has today if not for an invitation to come and sing in Bruce's office one afternoon.
Left you by the house of fun. I don't know why I didn't come. I don't know why I didn't come. When I saw the break of day, I wish that I could fly away. Instead of
the sounds of Nora Jones, her debut album, Come Away With Me, would go on to sell over 11 million copies and win an astounding 8 Grammy Awards. Another star had been born, thanks to the trusty ears of Bruce Lundvall. Just last August, as his health was declining, Bruce organized a jazz festival at his assisted living facility in his home state of New Jersey that featured Nora, Gonzalo Rubalcaba, Diane Reeves, Bill Charlap, and many more, with proceeds going to the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research. Under Bruce's leadership, Blue Note reestablished itself as the most respected and longest-running jazz label in the world, having celebrated its 75th anniversary in 2014. I think current Blue Note president Don Was probably summed it up best, saying Bruce was a one-of-a-kind, larger-than-life human being. His joie de vivre was equaled only by his love for music, impeccable taste, and kind heart. He will be sorely missed by all of us who loved and admired him, but his spirit will live forever in the music of Blue Note Records. And if you'd like to learn more about Bruce Lundvall, you can visit BlueNote.com, or you can check out his biography, Playing by Ear, written by Dan Willett, which came out last year. And to hear archived editions of Jazz Journeys, please visit waer.org. Thanks again for listening. And don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Eric Cohen, WAER, as well as the station at WAER883. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. So until next time, remember, jazz. Only 4 letters, but infinite possibilities. Take care.